Welcome to the Imagine Israel podcast, brought to you by the Jewish Federation of Greater Washington. Every podcast, we're going to get to meet with innovative Israeli influencers and change makers addressing social or economic challenges in Israel. In particular, we're going to be meeting people whose lives and whose work blend and address issues in Israeli society. I'm your host, Robbie Gringrass, and I'm coming to you from Makom, the Israel Education Lab of the Jewish Agency for Israel. And in this episode, I'd like you to meet Kobi Paz. Kobi Paz is a prolific and talented TV director living in Tel Aviv. Originating from Jerusalem, he's best known for his pioneering work in children's TV, actually, and in particular, a blockbuster kids drama called Mea B'Tanach, or I guess you'd call it A+ in Bible studies. It was a show about teens, performed by teen actors, which actually came to an end after its third season, when the star actors were all conscripted into the army. But for this episode, we're going to be talking to Kobi about another TV series for which he's known, a series called Ima ve'Abbas, Mom and Dads. This was, at the same time, a groundbreaking and entirely ordinary TV series about two gay guys in Tel Aviv who have a baby with a straight woman. It was groundbreaking because there's never been a show about this new normal kind of family, and entirely ordinary because its reception was also, well, normal. I met with Kobi Paz in the backyard of his Tel Aviv apartment. We were out back because it was bath time for his kids, who ended up being part of the story too. Because, like his TV show, Ima ve'Abbas, Kobi himself is raising three of his kids together with his partner, Doron. Together, they are also two Abbas. And this would be why Kobi strikes me as such a great person to begin our Imagine Israel podcast series. There's something unique about the interaction between Kobi's work, his personal life, and the way they reflect upon Israeli society in an unobtrusive, organic kind of way. So join us as we sit outside in the Tel Aviv backyard with a beer, with the mosquitoes, and with the neighborhood cats, talking about LGBT rights, about TV in Israel, and of course, about Jewish mothers. Welcome, Kobi.
Hey.
Good to meet you. Good to meet you. Good to see you. We're sitting outside in the patio in Tel Aviv. And so I think the folks in Washington are going to be really interested to hear about the TV series that you directed not long ago called Ima ve'Abbas. Which is a strange word, Abbas. What does that stand for?
Abbas is like fathers.
Okay.
Ima ve'Abbas, it's about a family made of a gay couple, two fathers, and a straight woman that decide together to bring a child to the world.
Okay.
And the series go with them the first year of the time together with the new boy.
So, TV series in Israel, two gay guys bringing a child into the world together with another woman. Is this something which TV often deals with in Israel?
No, it was the first Israeli TV series that dealt with this issue. But in Israel, gay and lesbian are often seen on TV. In that perspective, we're pretty
progressive, I suppose would be the word.
Yeah. The new family is pretty new in the Israeli.
And it's new in Israeli society, or is it just new on TV? It seems like an interesting combination. So the anti-establishment push of LGBT world together with the biggest establishment ever of family.
In Israel especially, these new families that combines any this kind of family or similar ones are very, very popular. In Israel, there are hundreds of children that was born in the last 10 years to gay people in many, many combinations, different combinations, but it's a huge phenomenon. It's very Israeli and also a Jewish phenomenon. I think it's something that for a Jewish gay man to bring a boy or a grandchild to his mother, to his Jewish mom, is something that is very, very strong.
And so how do Jewish mothers take to this idea? They've got a grandson, delighted. How does this play out in the TV series itself? Who are they?
The guys, the couple.
Yeah.
Okay, the guys in the show are Sami and Erez. Sami comes from a very religious house, a Sfaradi Mizrahi. His mother getting a hard time to accept that he lives with a man. And of course, she can't embrace the new child he brings. And this is very sad for Sami, because all he wants is to make her happy, like every Jewish.
Like every good Jewish boy, he wants to make her
happy.
Maybe
like every boy in the world. Erez, on the other hand, is a secular man. He believes in nothing. He's very, I think he's New Age man. He's Ashkenazi. He's academic. Is more educated, mm-hmm. more complex.
Yeah, sometimes it seems that Erez makes his own problems. It seems
Sami comes from a difficult house, but loves himself and accepts himself. Erez comes from a very progressive house, but having big problems with himself.
And so in this complicated relationship anyway, they decide to have a child.
Yep.
Particularly, I remember one of the episodes which struck me when you were talking about that this is a very Jewish-Israeli approach to LGBT things, was when they decide to give a Brit Milah to the kid, as in a circumcision to the kid. And how do all the various people around their lives and in their lives respond to this?
There are two layers in this particular chapter. Because on one hand, Sami wants to get a Brit Milah. It's in his blood. He wanted also to get married. He wanted to chuppah, and Erez didn't want. It's a motive in their life, in their common life. Sami likes ceremonies. He wants to be like everybody else. Not because he is very sophisticated. Just because it seems very simple for him. I mean, chuppah, it's common, it's obvious, he doesn't make a big deal of this. For Erez,
like all this... Specifically Jewish religious wedding.
Yeah, and that's what he brought up with, and that's what he brought to bring to his child, to his new life. Erez, on the other hand, have questions about everything. Nothing is easy going with him. He doesn't want to get married. He doesn't want Brit Milah. Not because Brit Milah is very... It's problematic for him. It's because everybody does Brit Milah, so he doesn't want to do Brit Milah. He asks questions about everything.
Okay.
So it seems to be conflict about Jewish ceremonies and tradition and not tradition. But it's not. I think it's not about it. For Sami, the Brit Milah is a symbol for acceptance that he is trying to get from his...
From his mother in particular.
Yeah, for his mother in particular and all his...
And in the end, the mother, she pays for it, but doesn't actually come to the ceremony.
Yeah.
I remember that. It's a terribly, terribly poignant moment.
Yeah, right. He has two sad moments in this chapter. Because first, his mother doesn't come. And the third thing, he is making a lot of effort that there will be a Brit Milah. And eventually, he feels like a guest in his own son, Brit Milah.
And why is that?
That's because he doesn't have family to bring. The first one. And the first problem that he has in the series, that the mother doesn't consider him a father, like Erez. Because he is not the biological father.
And Erez is the biological father.
Yeah.
Sami is not the biological father. He's already on the outside. We're going to take a little bit of a break. And I need to advertise something. Hey, batter, batter. I'm sure that sounds much better with an American accent, but that's all you got. The Jewish Federation of Greater Washington invites you to the second annual Grand Slam Sunday, Jewish Community Day at Nationals Park on August 28th, 2016. Join the Jewish Federation for a fun day at the ballpark as we celebrate the rich history of Jewish playmakers who influenced the game of baseball. Buy your tickets now at, this is now an internet address, shalomdc.org/Grand Slam Sunday. That's all one word, Grand Slam Sunday, and you need to say it with a Manchester accent because otherwise it won't sound so good.
Sam is very, very sad story because he's very, his great father is dedicated. He does everything from full of his heart, but he's struggling to get recognition all the time.
He also happens to be a very gorgeous looking straight man, the actor who plays him. Was that an issue? Am I not mistaken that both the gay guys were played by straight actors?
Yeah, that's right.
Was that an issue? Did anyone jump on you for that?
Yes. It's not an Israeli issue. It's all the time. When straight men plays gay characters, there's always a debate. It's not very, very important to me. It's not very significant.
And this was quite a big star, Yehuda.
Yehuda Levy, kind of plays Sami, is a big star in Israel. Very, very big star in Israel. He's like one of the sexiest men in Israel.
And having said that, it may be that people in Greater Washington may have come across the film Yossi and Jagger.
Yep.
And there, actually, he also played a gay guy in a lovely army gay romance film, which did very well back in the day. And across Israel, this series came, taking on quite a few taboos. You've got family and LGBT issues. You've got the insistence on turning this into basically an established family with a Brit Milah, with a circumcision and with a desire for a wedding. And here we are in Israel, which would seem certainly on the outside not to be the most progressive of societies. Was there any backlash against the TV series itself?
I think Israel, like in many other issues, are a state of contradictions.
If not schizophrenia.
Schizophrenia, exactly. Because if you talk about our government or our legal issues, we are not very, very progressive society. But it's one of the liberal societies that you can ever ask for yourself if you're a gay man. Because the series was accepted very, very, very calmly. It wasn't an issue at all. Because the part of Israel that might not accept the series or the issues that rises from it didn't watch it. As simple as that.
Okay.
But where we live, like in Tel Aviv or many parts of Israel, it's not an issue. I mean, people accept it very, very calmly, I must say. It's if we're a very liberal society. That's the truth.
It's a lovely image to have. I even remember that when the TV series came out and there was a great deal of coverage in the press, there was a whole double page spread about you yourself and your family.
Yep.
As some kind of parallel or...
Yeah. It's very, very much parallelic because we have a family that's very similar by its structure to the family that in Ima Ve'ab has. I mean, I live with my boyfriend for 12 years.
And his cats?
And the cats, yeah. The cats are visitors.
Okay.
Yeah. And there were three children.
You got three children?
We got three children.
Okay.
And two mothers.
You got two mothers?
Two mothers, yes.
Okay, so actually, even more complicated.
More complicated, actually, yes. But we're handling not bad at all. I made two children with a mother that we raised them together.
Who's
and,
we?
Me, my boyfriend, and the mother brings up three children. Two of them are mine biological, with one with a mother.
Right.
And my partner made another one with another woman. They're involved because the two young ones are very, very close in age. They're both, they have 60 days between them.
Wow.
Almost twins.
But from two different fathers and two different mothers.
Yeah. they are in the same kindergarten. They treat themselves completely as they are completely together all the time, but they have no biological connection at all. They can marry if they want. Yeah.
So Seder nights must be very interesting. Little Seder.
Yeah. It's funny because Sami in the series wanted to do surrogacy because he's more progressive gay. It's the nuances of gay people that I must share.
What? What makes it more progressive?
Because if you're a conformist, a gay conformist,
you
probably believe that your child has to have a male father and a female mother.
Okay.
In that perspective, Sami is more progressive. He believes that his child doesn't have to have a female mother.
That's because he's just had such fun with his own mother.
Maybe. But for me, it's very, very real. Because when me and Doron discussed this issue, I always told Doron that I don't want my children to raise them without a mom. It's not a very progressive thing to say. You understand what I'm saying? Young gays in Israel, very, very young, don't feel like that at all.
They don't need
mother in the picture.
It's just life.
The need to have mother is very conformist observation of the on the world.
Okay, so you...
On families.
You're more of an Erez, as
I'm,
that goes.
I'm more an... Yeah.
Do you watch Modern Family? Did you ever see that in these states?
Of course. It's great.
Colby Paz, thank you very, very much for talking to us.
Thank you, Robbie.
And so Colby left me pondering the amazing paradox that is Israel, embedded in an ancient traditional culture, and at the same time so groundbreaking and progressive in an almost instinctive way. A paradox that Colby pretty much embodies in his life and in his work. Is he traditional? Is he progressive? Is he a unique Israeli hybrid, perhaps? And apropos, the Jewish Federation of Greater Washington is always really proud to be supporting the Edlovich DCJCC Curlander program for GLBTQ outreach and engagement, which for short is GLOW. It supports multiple points of access in an open and welcoming environment for the LGBTQ community and their friends and their families. So finally, as I scratch my mosquito bites, I'm also left wondering about what Israelis call the state of Tel Aviv, almost a country within a country, light years away from Jerusalem and in a totally different galaxy from other more peripheral cities in Israel. Is Tel Aviv in a category of its own, with its wanton progressiveness and tolerance? Or is the whole of Israel buoyed up by the Tel Aviv bounce? That's the end of our episode today. Imagine Israel podcast is created by the Jewish Federation of Greater Washington, hosted and produced by myself, Robbie Greengrass of Macom. The Imagine Israel podcast is produced every other month for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at the URL shalomdc.org/Imagine Israel podcast. That's all one word. And you can also follow Federation on Twitter at JFGW and Facebook at, all one word, the Jewish Federation GW. Until next time.